generalize, but a lot of us human beings seems we have, or it's more proper to say, we can often find silence challenging. It's not so, these days you're not supposed to speak about difficulties and problems. Challenging. Most of us are silence challenged. Start to get a little bit uneasy. Start laughing a little bit because of some comic relief. Something a little bit mysterious to it, something a little bit something unclear. That's part of this, part of the silence, part of the sometimes part of the discomfort that we have with silence. And it's not usually spoken about, because we're usually busy speaking. So we're speaking, we're not in that zone. But it's there. It's sort of around us, and we're all aware of it. Maybe even, some people say we've become more aware of it because over the past couple of years, one of the aspects of social media has been the clear recognition that we're saying a lot more than we're saying. There's a lot more going on, there's a lot more subtext always to everything that we're doing, everything that we're saying, that we don't actually go ahead and put into actual words for whatever reason, and the reasons that we'll, I think we'll touch upon some of the reasons. But maybe because of that, it's a little bit more clear that this dimension, this zone, is very much part of our lives. It's there, sort of. It's there. We all recognize it's there, but so we have this quiet pack that we don't speak about it. We recognize it. It's there. And we move on. We live with it. We operate within it sometimes. Sometimes more cognitively, sometimes we recognize it more clearly, and sometimes we don't recognize it, but we're operating with it. So right now, this month is the month of silence, Cheshvan. We're coming out of some very, very loud times. Tishrei is a very loud, talkative month. Bubbling over with expression in all kinds of different ways. A little before it has its expression as well. And every month, that's what's so beautiful, it's unique, deep, one could say. One could suggest that something very deep about the Jewish months, and that each month has a personality. Each month, meaning each month has something that, a certain message, a certain time, that it's a time that is ripe for something. Now, so sometimes it hits us in the face, like it's at Tishrei, or in all kinds of different directions. Adar, it hits us. Mishenichnas Adar, Marbim Simcha. So the Simcha is very much in the air. It's tangible, and we can tap into it more easily at that time. On the other side, sadly enough, Av, Mishenichnas Av Mim Ma'atin B'Simcha, there's something there which is mute, which is constricted, which is whatever messages are there. In terms of, I mean, Avelos itself is a constricting kind of experience. So we're within ourselves, not as active. The time there is also ripe to connect to that idea. And we have 1 month where its message is its silence. Cheshvan is Chushei Lachash. Just read in Kohelas, Eit Lachashot. Ve'et Ledaber. There's a time and there's a time. There's a time. So it means that there's something, or you have Amar Rav Yehuda b'Rei de Rav Shmuel ba Shilat, the Gemara and Tainus Daf Chaf Gimel Keshem Shemishenichnas Av Memaatim B'Simcha Kach Mishenichnas Adam Adam Marbim B'Simcha. So every month has its essence, and by the fact that in Pirkei Avos Shimon Beno Omer. Kol yamai gadalti bein hachachamim velo matzati laguf tov ela shtika. That's something heavy here. We're speaking about tanoim. And that's kol yamai gadalti bein hachachamim. And what did I learn from these wise people? Velo matzati laguf tov ela shtika. It means there's something here which is, you can call it active silence. In other words, if we're right, as we are right now, pondering for the next couple of minutes, trying to think about silence, and think about the what it is and the benefits of silence. So I think the first level right away, before we get too far in exploring the idea, I think the initial thought that probably comes to mind is as opposed to the act of silence that we see here is more of the, I don't know, passive silence, but a silence, the aspect of silence which is sur mira. Like there are advantages to being quiet because of the fact, coming out of, right, not so long ago, all the achits that spoke about different chatayim connected to speech. So when we're silent, we stay out of trouble. We stay out of trouble regarding Lashon Hara. We stay out of trouble regarding Sheker. We stay out of trouble regarding Nivul Peh, speaking in a crude way which is beneath us. So we stay out of problems. When we're silent, we keep away from those problems. But this is saying something more than that. Lo matzati laguf tov ela shtika. There's something active taking place. There's something that, through the silence, I'm engaged in some kind of process of development. Not only staying away from problems, but there's something here that is being developed, active, going forward. And that's the point that the Maharal picks up upon in his Pirush on Pirkei Avos, the Maharal in Derech Chaim. We're not going to go through the whole piece, but let's try to get an idea of what the Maharal is talking about. The Maharal writes, V'pirish lo matzati laguf tov ela shtika ratza lomar b'masha ha'adam bal guf yafelo hashtika v'ze ki hadibur hu nefesh hamidaberet אשר נפש המדברת הוא כוח הגופני, שהדיבור כוח גופני ואינו שכלי לגמרי. לכך ראוי לו השתיקה שלא יבוא לידי טעות ושיבוש, כי כאשר הוא פועל בכוח הדיבורי, מבטל כוח השכלי. What is the Maharal saying here? So this is a great example to get a taste of Maharal, because there it's a central idea in Maharal, even in terms of some of the terminology. The Maharal often speaks in terms of seichel and guf. Obviously, it's a dominant theme in the Torah, the connection between the physical and the spiritual. And in different svarim, you have different terminology. You have, right? You have chomer and ruach. Chomer, the physical side of who we are, chomriyut, and ruach, the spirit. The Maharal often uses this lashon, of Guf and Seichel, where the Seichel is the side of Torah, Seichel is the side of the spirit, of the spiritual here in the Maral terminology. And what is the Maral saying? What's going on? Why lo matzati laguf tov ela shtika and dafka amongst the Chachamim? Because of the fact, says the Maral, that the Maral here is putting dibur into that the side of physical activity. When we're speaking, we're making sounds, physical sounds, the body is moving, we're engaged in physical activity, and at that time, the side of the hasichli, the spirit, is not as engaged, and therefore, it's kedai, it's a good etza, it's worthwhile for the side of you, for your, in essence, what Maral is saying is it's important for your spiritual development to allow the physical side here, speech, in this context of the Maral, to take a step back, let your physical side take a back seat so that the spiritual side, the tzad ha-sichli, can come to the surface, can excel. Now, of course, it goes without saying that we're sitting a whole day in the Beis Medrash and we're speaking about Divrei Torah, and that's of course the process of Lima Torah is through speaking. So the Maral is not saying as a rule. There's a concept here that we're meant to understand. Plugging that concept, let's say, into an idea, even in a Talmud Torah kind of setting, is that sometimes you have to be able to pause, to take a step back in learning, not right away speaking up, and I know. But that chachma of at first taking a step back and it's saying, I'm not sure if I know, and quiet, right? First some shtika. Even if there is, even in speaking, you can be speaking words, but allow shtika conceptually. I don't know. I'm not sure. As a first step, not knowing before we go ahead and know, because all too often, those who speak up and know they know right away don't know, and those who know that they don't know are the ones who know. And that is very similar to what the idea that Rav Kook is expressing in Orot HaKodesh, a sefer, words of Rav Kook that he expressed later on in life, published by the Nazir of David Cohen, the close, shall I get Talmud Chaver of Rav Kook. Let's see a couple of lines from this very deep sefer, Orot HaKodesh. Rav Kook writes, and again it's the same idea, hearing it from Rav Kook terminology. A little bit poetic, a little bit flowery. Let's see the idea. Rav Kook writes, again, Eit l'chashot ve'eit l'daber is a time to be quiet, a time to speak. Hirus gadol ba b'ma'archei haruach. There's tremendous destruction to the systems of the spirit. Kishemofia haor hapnimi shel eit lechashot, when it's a time, the time of eit lechashot, of being quiet, surfaces. V'hayomut hakedosha ha'elyona b'chol hod kvoda uv'chvod mas'a hi mimala et kol ha'neshama, all of the glory of the holy silence fills the soul. So great hirus, the first word here was hirus. Great destruction comes if what? Im yimrod b'ha'adam, if man will rebel against this silence, if the call of the moment is the silence, if man rebels against it, v'yifrotz l'daber, and breaks through speaking, merida zub malchus adomiyah machrevet et kol binyana. The rebellion against the kingdom of silence ends up destroying all of the buildings, the spiritual buildings that have been being that have been in a process of being built up. Skipping two lines, v'hamaskil, it's underlined, right? V'hamaskil, it's underlined. V'hamaskil ba'et ha'hi yidon. The person with seichel who knows will know how to respect the call of the moment, that those times, the time of silence, and will yidom and will be quiet. Amnam, but moving on, it doesn't end there. Those are the chev. If it ends there, those are the chevra on the other side of the valley. Right? Who are the chevra on the other side of the valley? What's on the other side of the valley? The monastery, right? Yeah. Right? On the other, right? The Latrun Monastery. Familiar? The Latrun Monastery on the other side. You know, you guys don't know because you come now up to Latrun from this side. Right? But if you pass, if you don't get onto the Yerushalayim Highway, you go a minute further on the way to Mini Israel. The Tank Museum. Right? On the left-hand side of the road is a big monastery. So that's ending it there, only recognizing that there's something there, but it's half-baked. We continue to the next stage. Amnam, ka'asher yiten la'adomia et kvoda b'et hofata. If we have the respect, if we have appreciation for the silence, and then let it develop, and we're letting ideas develop, letting thoughts become ripe, then, az Tanhighi et mishtara, it will put its rule into expression, into place. Skip to the next underlying part. Umitocha totzi peerot v'anafim ne'edarim filled with strength, b'koach tzomeach gadol v'ra'anan, hasichim yamalu koach v'yavo niv svatayim. So then there will be the blossoming. It will be a process of development, eventually to the point of blossoming of niv svatayim, beautifully as Rav Kook puts it, the fruits of the lips, words that go through that are a process of first an internal cooking of a process of letting the ideas be mitpashel, you say in Lashon HaKodesh, right? Become ripe. And then come to the surface. So then, these are the niv svatayim, the fruits of the lips. That's the continuation of the process. And when we just go for the God, for expressing what's coming from the God and speaking and blabber, whatever comes out, whatever, right? We're not allowing for any kind of process of development of ideas. We're just blurting out whatever comes to mind. So there's something that's. This is very raw, something that's very foolish. Something that's very, jumping back for a second to the maral, it's something very chomri. It's on that physical side. It's something crude about that. That's the idea of hedyot kofetz l'rosh. The fool, right? That's how a fool, Chazal describe a fool as a simpleton who jumps to the head. Like, you know, like, he jumps like the guy who like was the last on the list of the invites of whether he should, like the furthest most distant friend of the chassan. And the chassan said, you know, the last thing, all right, you know, I'll invite him also. And then, you know, he comes to the dance floor, and this guy's like taking over the dance floor. He has to be on the inside of every single circle, dancing with the chassan, like nobody else can get near. That's a head, like he's the foolishness. That's the head yod kofetz l'rosh. You're going ahead, like you be happy with a seat somewhere in the crowd. You go ahead and jump, go up to the dais, and that's not, know your play. Not, right? That's, so that same idea of not having that lack of wisdom is what brings out, blurting out ideas and not respecting. Let thoughts develop on some level on the inside and then be brought to the surface as the time where they're ripe, they can be expressed in their healthy, ripened form. So that's a second level here. We spoke so far about two levels of the value of silence. Number one, simple, staying away from problems, staying away from the negative. Second level was allowing for a process of development of the seichel to take place, and not being the head yod kofetz l'rosh, not blurting out right away everything that comes to mind, and through that we're not as right, not as physical, not operating from that purely physical realm. But there's another level, the final level I want to speak about, and maybe the most powerful. That's the idea. The bottom line here, I think, maybe it sums it up in five words. The Kotzker. The Kotzker, famous line of the Kotzker, Ein tzaka yoter gdola me'ashtika. The silent scream. Where sometimes we have so much to say that we just can't put it into words. We feel that when we put it into words, we're constricting. Possibly a kind of, possibly for some of you, maybe a situation the next day after having a powerful Yom Kippur. A Yom Kippur of really throwing yourself into tefillah. And the next day you're speaking to someone, you know, that reconnect, Venus Manim, and reconnecting, whatever, on the phone. Nope. How was Yom Kippur? How was Yom Kippur? So what are you gonna? Oh, that's great. Okay, you know, great. Yeah. Can you really find the words to accurately express what you're trying to express? And often after a week of not seeing each other, a chasen and kala, those moments of the badekin. So, okay, so sometimes people are very talented and can find the words, but often, usually what's the case is that there aren't words that are said then. Between the chasen and the kala, I was like, what are you going to say? The moment is beyond. It's above, something here greater than what could actually be put into words. And the way of expressing the greatness of those moments is actually the expression, expressing through shtika, expressing through the silence. One of my rabbeim that I've learned a tremendous amount from, Echad Megidoli Yerushalayim, Rav Moshe Shapiro. Tremendous, huge Talmud Chacham, and in addition to being a huge Talmud Chacham, he's an amazing speaker. He really captivates the whole crowd of hundreds of people, and you see everybody glued to every word that he's saying. So back in the... I think this is like the early 90s. All the shiurim were recorded, and in those days recordings were on tape. And in the early 90s, a new kind of tape recorder came out called a voice-activated recorder. You've heard of a voice-activated recorder. I don't know if it exists in digital. It should. I don't know. It makes sense with technology these days. It should. But the voice-activated recorder, the way the tape recorder worked is that it detected when there's quiet, if it's recording a lecture, so not to waste time. So if it detects that there's silence, it stops recording, and then when it picks up that there's sound, then it continues the recording. So one of his Talmidim came to him all excited, and Rav Moshe Shapiro is a very dramatic speaker, and often he has these pauses while he's speaking. And one of the rabbis was very excited and came to him, "Look, Rebbe, this is this new voice-activated recorder, and it's so great." And when you afterwards, when you go and listen to the shiurim, so like you're saving so much time, right? So avoiding Bittul Torah because of all by the end of the tape, you have 1 minute and 40 seconds that you've cut out because now it's going straight from speaking to speaking. And Moshe looked at him and said, "If anybody listens to my shiurim on this kind of recorder, they're missing the main point of the shiur." This is the b'china of, you have over on the left-hand side of the Gilui to Eliyahu in Sefer Melachim. So the build-up to the Gilui, we have here a revelation, there are certain parallelisms, if you learned a little bit, Tanakh, certain parallelisms between this revelation to Eliyahu and the revelation at Maimed Har Sinai. But we're not going into the right now, just understand, right? The build-up to that Gilui was the last couple of psukim. Pasuk Yud Aleph, right? It says Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer tzei va'amadata b'har lifnei Hashem. V'nei Hashem over. V'ruach gdola v'chazak mifarek harim. U'mishaber slayim lifnei Hashem. So the first step is this huge wind. A wind comes along that it's so strong that it's mefarek. It's taking apart harim. It's taking apart mountains. U'mishaber slayim, smashing the stones. Lo beruach Hashem. But this is not it yet. This is not where Hashem was revealing himself yet. Lo beruach Hashem. Next step. V'achar haruach rash. There's a tremendous noise. Lo berash Hashem. It's not here yet. No, this was not the point of the revelation. V'achar harash eish. Lo be'esh Hashem. Finally, v'achar ha'esh kol the mama daka, the sound of silence. The silence. That's where. That's finally the end. The climax here of this revelation of this gilui. The famous story of Chassidus Shemaisav, Rav Mendel Vorkin. And Rabbi Avremel the Chisker Magid used to send back and forth letters to each other. So Rabbi Mendel of Vorka had a chassid, devoted chassid. He went and brought the letter from Rabbi Mendel to the Chisker Magid, and then would wait around for a response and bring it back to Rabbi Mendel. V'kach, week after week, go on. And finally, after weeks and weeks of this, all the efforts that he was putting in as a delivery boy, he had a little bit of holy chutzpah. He wanted to take a look, what's inside, what's Rav Mendel writing to the Chisker Magid. So he goes ahead, finally, after 5 weeks, he has the chutzpah, he opens up along the way, looks, opens up the letter, he finds, he's devastated, finds a blank piece of paper. He's shocked. And he gets over the shock. He's so angry. So angry. What's my Rebbe doing to me? What does he think I'm a fool? Going ahead and giving me a blank piece of paper to go. What kind of effort this is? I'm going hours out, back and forth every week. What is this? Comes back and he comes back to the Rebbe there, but closes down. You know, he's like quiet on the sidelines and like not participating, you know, not really there. And the Rebbe picks up on it and calls the chassid over. He calls Yankel over and says, "Yankel, what's the story? What are you so upset about?" I suppose Yankel, it's okay, don't worry, you know, it's okay, I'll be all right. No, Yankel, what's going on? You know, what? Says, "Okay, Rebbe, you want to know? I'll tell you. okay, maybe it wasn't right, maybe I shouldn't have done it. There's a little bit of chutzpah, but last week when he sent me to bring the letter, I'll be moda. I opened up the letter. And I looked inside. And I saw what you're doing. You just made, what, you're making a fool out of me. You're sending a blank piece of paper. What is that? So Mendel says, yeah, look, yeah, I understand why you're upset about it. But there's an explanation. Please let me explain. I have a correspondence with the Triskemagin. I have a correspondence. We write back and forth with each other. But the Triska is now, he's not much my best friend. And sometimes, I just want to express myself, and I just have to express myself in the most powerful way. I can't even find the words to be able to express myself. Just maximum expression, send it in a blank piece of paper. Ein tzaka yoter gdola me'ashtika. The cold mama daka. Coming back to us human beings, the human condition, we all have these moments. Meaning this is part of life. Maybe even amongst the most talented in expression. So the reason that we are sometimes amazed by those people in any realm, from poetry to music to any realm of expression of the art, there's something there because we're sort of in awe of people who are able to express more successfully, in a way that we would want to. We all want to express. There's that ratzon. The ratzon is there. But what we have often the way what we do have is this tool of shtika to be able, and in a positive shtika to be able to express in that way. We mentioned the Nazir who worked on editing Rav Kook's Orot HaKodesh. That back in the beginning of... Rav Kook was Nifter in 1935. Okay, so we say the end of his life. Okay, let's say we're talking about the 20s. So you know that Rav Aryeh Levin, the Tzaddik in Yerushalayim, Tzaddik in Atar, Rav Aryeh Levin, was also there in those circles there around Rav Kook. So one day Rav Aryeh Levin came to the Beis Medrash looking for Rav Kook. On Rechov HaRav Kook in Yerushalayim. Do you know where Rechov HaRav Kook is? Rechov HaRav Kook in the center of town. There's a street sort of almost opposite. I'm from Yafo, and Ben Yehuda is almost opposite. Instead of going up the Ben Yehuda side, on the other side, going up is Rechov HaRav Kook, right near Ben, almost near Ben Yehuda. Rechov HaRav Kook. It's called Rechov HaRav Kook because still today is this, where Rav Kook's yeshiva was. His house was and the yeshiva was, and it's left as a museum now, Beit HaRav. Today to stop by, if you're there on a Friday, you can stop by. There's also an interesting place next door in that courtyard called Muzeon HaTehillim, the Tehillim Museum. Right next door, a very interesting artist that paints paintings on... Each painting is based on a different perek in Tehillim. I have one of his paintings hanging in my house. Recommended a visiting spot. So the kids of Rav Aryeh Levin, came in one day to the Beis Medrash looking for Rav Kook. And Rav Kook wasn't around. He had something he needed an eitzah for something. He was very, very anxious to find Rav Kook, to get advice on a certain matter. But Rav Kook wasn't around. He couldn't find Rav Kook. And the Nazir was there. He sat down in front of the Nazir and told him what his issue was and waits for advice. And the Nazir looks at him in silence, a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 15 minutes. 15 minutes, Ravadi Levine sat in front of the Nazir in silence, walked away, and somehow figured things out, ended up deciding whatever he had to do. And the next day, Rav Kook came into the Beis Medrash, called over Ravadi Levine, said, I heard you were looking for me. And Ravadi told him, it's okay, I worked things out already. I ended up going to the Nazir. So Rav Kook asked, what did he tell you? And Ravadi told him the whole story. He told him what happened. He was sitting there 15 minutes quiet. Rav Kook said to Ravadi Levine, the Nazir says more with his silence than most people say with hours and hours of speech. So, on the level of wrapping things up, you see here Rav Akiva Tautz. If you haven't read it yet, we'll just read a couple of lines here. He speaks about, because we're talking about the whole package. We're not talking about remaining, being fixated in silence, as the chevra on the other side of the valley. But knowing how to balance the two sides together, to know how to balance all of the explosion of expression of speech, of lights, music, camera, action that we had during Elul and Tishrei, from the kolos of the shofar to the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Slichos. To the music of Simchas Beis Shoeva, together with the silence of Cheshvan. And often in life, and it's something that I think it's beautiful the way it works out in the yeshiva year, is that you have this process which we often have in life of a burst of light, a burst of inspiration. But we don't really acquire real long-term, lasting accomplishments in those moments of burst of inspiration of light. They're important. They help us, like the mashal very often goes, of like walking in the middle of the night, you have a flash of lightning, even though it's for a second, but all of a sudden you can see the way. You have help then in recalculating the path. But the real accomplishments come from the real effort, the real grassroots, the process during those times of shtikam. Very far from the spotlights. Far from all of the action, far from the band playing along. Far from the music, during the quiet, the harmony, the beauty of the silence of routine. Routine can be taken into it. It's not routine. It's just like dry and boring. Mitzachini, that's where the big stuff really happens. That's the process. That's what Akiva Tatz is speaking about here. This process in life. That is the secret. That sounds big, right? That is the secret of life. A person is inspired artificially at the beginning of any phase of life, but to acquire the depth of personality which is demanded of us, Hashem removes the inspiration. The danger. There's a danger. There's the danger in now going into the winter months in the silence. In the cold, in the long, long nights. The danger is apathy and depression. The challenge is to fight back to the point of inspiration and, in so doing, to build it permanently into one's character. Prinas, that's the beautiful idea tied together, the Gemara in Nida on the upper left, around the corner of the Av, the Gemara in Nida, Daflam and Mibbez, that we're all familiar with, the description of the fetus inside its mother's womb, where it has everything, it has being taught Kola Torah Kula. You have a couple of points underlined. Ner Doluk Lo Al Roshe Vitzofa Umabit Misofa Olam Biat Sofa. He has this light where he can see from one side of the world to the other. The Ein Lecha Yamim Shadam Sharui B'tova Yoter Me'otam Hayamim U'Milamdim Oto Kol HaTorah Kula. And then what happens with birth? Kevan Shabala Avir Ha'olam Ba Malach V'Sotro Alpiv U'Mishakcho Kol HaTorah Kula. And then he's born. We're born into the world. The Malach taps us. And we forget, I'm sorry, Kol HaTorah Kula. Ve'eino yotze mishamat shemashbin oso, ma'i ashvua shemashbin oso, tiye tzadik v'al tiye rosha. Chazal tell us in another place that after 120 years, this is before we're born, then we're born until then we live our lives. Chazal tell us after 120 years, when a person leaves this world and comes to the Olam Ha'elyon, we come into the heavenly world and we are greeted by three malachim. And first malach asks, where is the Torah that I taught you? And the Gra says, that is the malach that taught us Kol HaTorah Kula inside B'me'eimo, inside our mother's womb. So what's everybody's always asking? What's the point of being taught Kol HaTorah Kula? If Malach comes along, we forget everything and we're born as complete Amaratzim. But with having said what we said, we understand here the process. I think we can suggest this process here. There's a process of initial burst of light, initial inspiration, initial exposure to very, very high places which, in real terms, are out of our reach, are a little bit beyond us. Moments of slichas, of yamim noraim, of ne'ilah, there's something that, hey, we're all, in real terms, there's something there that's a little bit beyond us in terms of our everyday life, how we're going to go ahead and live it. We're in this almost make-believe zone then of malachim. But it's not fake in terms of the sheker that is wrong and distorted. But at the same time, there's something here that's not real in terms of our continual day-to-day life. But the value of it is to give us this burst of light, of this initial, what's called also, if I'm Chazali, the terms Isorusa de la Tata and Isorusa de la Eli. Familiar with the terminology? Hitoruruto de la Tata and Isorus, which is a waking up, an awakening, inspiration, which is Lamata and Isorusa de la Eli, above. Isorusa de la Eli refers to things which are heaven sent. Kriyas Yamsuf. We don't do anything. The ocean is split in front of us. That is his orusa, there's something here, awakening, happening, milamala. Getting ourselves up out of bed in the morning, getting ourselves up early, getting ourselves up in time to davening, that's orusa de la tata. That's grassroots, that's down here, that's below. That's real, that's lasting. Orusa de la ela has its place to be able to enlighten us, to show us the way, but afterwards, it really happens in Cheshva. It's really happening then during this, the sounds of silence. And that's what the B'nai Yisachar speaks about, the different months being parallel to different Shvatim. And there he speaks about Cheshvan being parallel to Menashe. an idea of neshama, osios neshama. There's an idea, maybe it's bringing in, I don't know if it's a little wild, connecting of an Yisoschina to a Rav Hirsch. I don't know if it's not shatness, but b'chozot, anyway. Vayikra Yosef Hashem HaBachor Menashe, ki nashani Elokim et kol amaliv et kol beis avi. Why is he called Menashe? Because I forgot all of the difficulties that I went through, and I forgot beis avi. So Rav Hirsch writes, Nashani is usually translated, Hashem made me forget all my misfortune and all of my father's house. Whose heart does not turn within him at the thought, at this thought? Yosef calls his firstborn after the fact that God has allowed him to forget his old father and all his family. That certainly would solve the question in the easiest manner as to why Yosef had not bothered about his father for such a long time, simply because Yosef had no heart. Fortunately, however, to forget is not the only meaning of Nasha. Nasha also means to be a creditor, nashani. And nashani can just as well mean Hashem has made my misfortunes and my family into creditors. What has seemed to me hitherto misfortune and mishandling, Hashem has made the means to my attaining the greatest joy, so that I am deeply indebted to my misfortune and my family. You hear what Rav Hirsch is saying? You hear the connection in the ring between the words of Rav Hirsch and the idea that Rav Tatz was saying? The danger is apathy and depression. Stopping halfway, being not seeing the bigger picture. So it's cold and it's quiet and it's dark and it is the risk. But nashani, turning into credit. In other words, this is Yosef here is seeing the bigger picture. He's seeing the process, to plug him back to what we spoke about in terms of the, in another realm of the process, the maral, and Rav Kook were speaking about a process. Nachon, there's first, it's not easy. It takes a certain amount of discipline, of self-discipline, of constraint. You want to speak up. Yeah, I know. You see sometimes, right? Rebbe asks the questions, or in any kind of situation. Yeah, I know. Oh, it takes some constraint, and it's not easy. It's something humbling and saying, no, I don't know, and let me reassess it. Taking a step back, that's difficult. And in that difficulty, though, are the seeds for the process afterwards of developing, eventually, to bring about the fruits, the nivsfatayim, the fruits that Rav Kook referred to, the fruits of the lips. And that's later on, a couple of months from now, also as well, the month of Shvat, already towards the end of the winter, where the trees are blossoming. Choref is a time of, it's a process of development. And Hazorim Bedima, Barino Yiktsaru. And everybody knows the secret of being real, knows Hazorim Bedima. You know what I'm referring to? What? Beyond Shir Malos? The reference? Nobody gets the reference? Azorim Bedima, Barino. Everybody who knows the secret of being real knows. With tears and with joy. With joy and with tears. Ayin Sham. Everybody knows the secret of being real is Hazorim Bedima Barina, with tears and with joy and with tears, seeing the big process, the whole picture. Not being fixated just on the moment, but being able to invest in the Cheshvan, moving on to the light of Kislev, Tevis, the blossoming of the trees of Shvat, eventually surfacing, bringing to the Simcha of Adar, through our, again, at the beginning of the process, our respect for silence, and appreciation for the potential, for the value, for the expression that the silence has, even though it requires us to have a little bit, to take a step back, to have a little bit, to be a little bit more pensive. And when we have, once we acquire that respect, that appreciation for the sound of silence, then the secret of being real, Bezat Hashem. will be Shenizkeh to harvesting the beautiful sweet fruits in a couple of months from now.